Football with the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrivee. Now your hosts for Talkin' Football, Murphy, Katie, and Nick on 101 WIXX.
Rodgers from the 42 of New York, fourth down and two. Snapped A-Rod. Looking downfield, scrambles right. Now, winds up, rainbows into the end zone, and it is caught. Yes. The fly to the end zone. Yes. Randall Cobb. Touchdown, Green Bay. Hail Mary answered again.
7-11 at WIXX. Wayne Larrivee, we seem to perfect the art of the Hail Mary here in Green Bay, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, it's usually if teams get one of those, maybe a lifetime. This team has gotten at least three of them.
Yeah.
It's
in the
amazing.
Last 2 years.
Murphy and I were saying the same thing. Like, I don't know that I've seen my team benefit from a Hail Mary in a critical situation in my entire life. And now I've witnessed three. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, you know, it's a quarterback and the way he throws that particular pass. And what was amazing to me was as you watch the replay, all those players in front of Randall Cobb and not one touched the ball. Not one.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
fell right to Randall at the back line of the end zone. That was amazing.
You know, when you get a sense of how things are going, did you get that sense? Because it seemed like we got off to a very slow start, obviously. And it's like, okay, well, this is going to go right down the way. It's going to be a nip and tuck game all the way to the end. Did you sense it was going to turn like it did?
No. You know what? But it was amazing to me that, you know, number one, they had the lead 7-6 at that point in time. But to go out with an 8-point lead at halftime based on the way the first half went, I mean, the Packers didn't get on track until under 4 minutes to go in the first half when their first touchdown drive. So, you know, to see it end up like that, boy, you knew that was a great swing of momentum. Still a long way to go against a good football team that had moved the ball in the first half. But nonetheless, that's a hard thing to come back from. It just brought me back to that Akeem Nicks play in the end zone before halftime of the 2011 division playoff game that swung momentum just irreparably. But I knew this game had more twists and turns before it was over.
It was amazing early on, and the drop certainly didn't help New York, and they made their mistakes, but they were making so many plays, and the Packers seemingly had nothing going, but they made the play when they had to make the play. They got a stop when they finally had to get the stop, or made the tackle when they had to have that one tackle. And it was sort of a neat microcosm for how the whole season went. Just when you had to have it, when the chips were down, they made the plays early on that allowed them to then get momentum later on in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they held the Giants to 31% on third downs, and that's where you make a lot of those plays you're talking about, 5 of 16 for the Giants. So that was really huge, I thought, in the ball game and the way the defense hung in there. You know, their coverage was decent in the secondary. I thought they were very good against the run. The Giants were intent on running the football. You could tell Perkins had come off a big game at Washington the previous week. They had rushed for 132 yards a game in each of in the last three games. So the Giants felt they could run the football on this Green Bay team. And I thought Mike Daniels up front really set the tone early on in the ball game.
And yes. once you grab that lead, and even on the fourth down that we went for it on fourth down controversially and they scored the touchdown, even though you still had the lead, when you play with that lead, the defense can do some special things out there, some different things.
Yeah, it frees them up. And, you know, if they made the Giants somewhat one-dimensional, I thought, in the ball game. The Giants weren't going to stick with that ground game in perpetuity. They were going to come off of it because, you know, overall during the season they had not run the football well as a team. They were averaging 88 yards rushing per game. So you knew they were going to become one-dimensional if you could just get the lead, and the Packers were able to do that, and I think that was key. Now, you know, you go into the third quarter, Mike McCarthy, you know, a lot of times we ask Mike, you know, be bold, you know, have confidence. The running plays, the third down and on fourth down, the Giants were just too stout up front. Those two big tackles were too much to move out of the way, and the Packers failed there. And then the Giants come right back and hit the big touchdown pass play, and all of a sudden you're thinking the momentum of the game has now completely changed. Well, Aaron Rodgers got back in the saddle, and the Packers went on their way from there and scored 24 unanswered points.
Yeah. And special teams yesterday, Wayne. Really, Micah Hyde had several nice returns, and Jeff Janis was a monster yesterday.
Yeah, he was a monster in coverage. He had a couple of good kick returns. I thought Micah was very decisive in his punt returning. You know, this was a day where kicking the ball, especially punting it, would be very difficult. And so, you know, what I saw from the Giants punter, Brad Wing, was he was trying to get distance and kicking it low with line drives into that cold air. And that just gave Micah an opportunity to return the punt, and I thought they were great on special teams. And you know what? In some of their big victories this year, special teams have come up big. And I think back to the game that turned it all around, and that's the Philadelphia game on a Monday night. Special teams was outstanding in that ball game. And I think you're going to see more of Kristen Michael out there. Obviously, Ty Montgomery re-injured that ankle, was able to come back into the game, but this is something that has slowed him now the last couple of weeks. And I think you're going to see a little more of Kristen Michael going forward here in these playoffs. 10 carries, 47 yards, an effective day of running the football for him yesterday.
717, talking football with Wayne Larrivee here on WIXX. Quick timeout. More Wayne coming up on IXX.
Talking now back to Murphy, Nick, and Katie. It's Talking Football with Wayne Larrivee on 101 WIXX.
Snap to Manning. Play action. Looking around. Hit Bingo. By Clay Matthews, and the ball comes loose incomplete. Matthews on the hit. I did not hear a whistle. The ball is loose. Matthews chasing after it, and he recovers it. The playmaker. There was no whistle on the play. Was the arm coming forward? Matthews made the hit from behind. The ball popped loose. He did not hear a whistle. He continued the play. He tracked it down 10 yards downfield and made the recovery. And now knocked, a conference.
And knocked Paul Perkins on his rear end.
On the field is that it was a fumble. The ball was recovered by Green Bay at the 45-yard line.
Wayne, that was another really big heads-up play by Clay Matthews, wasn't it?
That was huge. Yeah, you know, a great player like that. It's funny. I thought he and Julius Peppers affected that game yesterday. You know, those are two old pros. Julius is in seeking his first Super Bowl championship, and in what might be his last year. You can tell he played at a different level yesterday, and Clay as well. You know, Clay Matthews, the great players, the Hall of Fame caliber players, make plays. They may not make a lot of plays, but they make crucial plays, and that one pretty much snuffed out the Giants.
I know a lot of people are asking about Jordy's situation, and we really don't know what his status is right now. But don't you think at this particular point we're in a lot better position to absorb Jordy's loss if he's unable to go?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, because the emergence of Davante Adams, number one, Randall Cobb being back, number two, those are really key players right there that I think could step up and fill that void much better than it was filled last year.
Every year we talk, Wayne, when roster cuts come around, why do we keep X number of receivers or X number of defensive secondary players versus running backs versus this, that? And it is sort of the Thompson philosophy of you never know where you're going to need the depth. I know right now it looks like we're loaded here, but you never know. And thank goodness in this case, especially a wide receiver, we kept the guys we did because, boy, we need them right now.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's nice to see Jared Cook get healthy because he's also a part of that. Now, a lot of times they'll split him off the line as a wide receiver, and he's certainly capable of doing that and did it effectively these last weeks down the stretch here, last eight games or so. I think he's another guy that gives them a dimension they did not have last year when they were trying to compensate for the loss of Jordy Nelson. So if Jordy can't go this week, this team, you're exactly right, is in a much better place to handle that loss than they would have been a year ago.
Now, a lot of people are kind of excited because, I mean, let's face it, the Giants beat the Cowboys a couple of times. The Giants defense was right up there, one of the top in the NFL. So a lot of people are counting their chickens heading into Dallas here. Dallas is a very good football team, aren't they, Wayne?
Yeah, they're excellent. You know, the thing they present that the Giants didn't is the Cowboys can run the football and they can throw the football effectively. So they are a two-dimension offense. The Giants really didn't have the running game the Cowboys have, obviously. And, you know, their passing game, Eli had a so-so season. And in the end, yesterday played kind of a so-so game. But the Cowboys are a much different football team with a much different momentum. The Giants, see, here's the thing that people think, you know, and I understand the logic of this. Well, the Giants beat the Cowboys twice, and the Packers just beat the Giants. So don't you think the Packers are going to go to Dallas and crush the Cowboys? Well, understand something about pro sports. It's not like that. Pro sports are matchups. The Giants happen to match up really well with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. The Packers are a whole different animal going into Dallas. It's a whole different story. They may not match up as quite as easily with the Cowboys as the Giants do, but that doesn't mean they can't win. They certainly can, and the momentum they're playing with and the confidence they're playing with, folks, is really interesting to see because, you know, that game yesterday, for the better part of the first half, the first 25 minutes of the first half, the Packers were going nowhere. And, you know, the best thing you could say about them was that the Giants only had 6 points. But, you know, so this Green Bay team, there's something special happening here. this seven-game winning streak, and so I would not count them out by any means. Dallas is an impressive top seed, but the Packers certainly will have their chance.
It's got a real 2010 vibe going to it, doesn't it?
You know, it does, and it's different. This is a different team. This defense isn't even close to as good as that 2010 defense, and defense eventually wins in the playoffs. But nonetheless, they're resourceful. The offense is playing at a great clip right now, and so, you know, who can count them out? Remember, these teams, this is not 2010 for the other teams either. So I think the Packers face the best defense and beat the best defense they're going to see in the playoffs here on out. That's all the way to the Super Bowl, when they'll probably play New England. But nonetheless, you know, you have to win each week, and they're going to have to win in Dallas. They're probably going to have to win either in Atlanta or Seattle.
All right, there you go.